Let's start off in our Bibles in John chapter 14, the Gospel of John and chapter 14. We just sang in mansions of glory. Well, there's a comforting statement that Jesus makes here in John chapter 14. He says this beginning in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I want you to notice in verses 2 and 3 the two conditional statements that begin with the word if. If it were not so, I would have told you in verse 2. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you. These are conditional statements. In other words, in verse 2, Jesus would be saying, if it is not true that there are many mansions in my Father's house, it is also true I would have told you. So these statements reflect his integrity. In verse 3, if it is true that I am going to prepare a place for you, it is also true that I am coming again. Jesus is reflecting on his integrity. What he tells us is going to happen. But these conditional statements are followed by other conditional statements that now reflect upon our integrity. Jump down to verse 7. If, here's the conditional statement, if ye had known me, you can supply the word then after that. If ye had known me, then what? Ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. People say, has anybody ever seen God? Yes, in the person of Jesus Christ, because Jesus clearly says, you have seen him at the end of verse 7. But the conditional statement is this, if ye had known me, then you should have known my Father. Then jump down to verse 14. If, another conditional statement, ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So if it is true that you ask anything in my name, it is also true that I will do it. So the integrity of us, if I ask anything in his name. That's why we close our prayers with, and Lord, we say this, we pray this in. And then verse 15. If you love me, then what? If then, a reflection upon our integrity. If it is true that you are loving me, it is also true that you are keeping my commandments. So then, if you are not keeping his commandments, what does that say about your love? As much as you may brag about it, as much as you may say it, you do not love him. If you do not keep his commandments. You will keep my commandments, Jesus says, if it is true that you are indeed loving me. Verse 23 repeats almost the same thing. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, what? He will keep my words. If you love me, then it is true that you will keep my words. The title of the message this morning is this. If you love me, then. T-H-E-N. If you love me, then. Fill in the blanks. You will keep my commandments. You will keep my words. And that takes us to John chapter 21, where we started last week in verse 15 on Valentine's Day, talking about love. And it says this in John 21 and verse 15. So when they had dined, they had finished breakfast, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him the second time, again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now, we have here not outright conditional statements. You don't see the word if. And yet, you see here logical conclusions based upon the condition that Peter indeed loves him. Peter, do you love me? Then if you do, you will feed my lambs. If you do, you will shepherd my sheep. If you do, you will feed my sheep. If you do. So the title is this, if you love me then. If you love me then. Peter, are you really loving me? Then feed my sheep. Jesus three times commands Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. That's what happens if we truly love him. So we can sing, My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. We can say that, we can sing that, but how do we show that? We keep his commandments, we keep his word, we feed his sheep. We shepherd his sheep. You say, well, you're the shepherd. You're the pastor. You're the poimen shepherd. You're the one who is to do the shepherding. And you are right. But it is also true of every believer that you will tend his sheep. This isn't the first time I've preached this message, but I am following up upon last Sunday when we were looking at verse 15. When I asked this question, how would you compare your love for Jesus? Because Jesus very clearly says in his first question, lovest thou me more than these? And we saw that there were three possibilities as to what these refer to. Let me ask you those three questions. Number one, here's the first possibility. Do you love Jesus more than you love these other disciples, Peter? I know you love your brother Andrew, who's also a disciple. I know you love John. I know that you love Matthew. And do you love me more than you love them? Or secondly, it could be, do you love Jesus more than you love these things? He had just caught 153 fish. What a catch. And the Bible says they were great fish. He could actually brag that they were this big. Do you love me more than you love these things, Peter? Or it could be anything that you have. Thirdly, could be that Jesus was saying this, and this is what I believe he was actually saying. Do you love me more than these other disciples love me? You say, that's competition. No, Peter had denied him three times. Peter is the one who had said, I will never deny you. And how many times did he say? How many times did he have to deny the Lord? Three times, and now Jesus three times says, Peter, do you love me? How would you compare your love for Jesus? That's Jesus' first question, lovest thou me more than these? Look at Peter's first confession. We touched upon this, but I want to enlarge upon it this week. Look at Peter's first confession. Yes, Lord. Peter simply says, yes, I am loving you, but he does not say, more than these. He does not repeat what Jesus had so pointedly asked him. And when Peter answers with, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee, he uses a different word for love. This is where the Greek language is so expressive. And Peter is betraying his level of love or what kind of love he has. And it really, I think, reflects the love that most believers have for Jesus. And I mentioned that as a challenge to all of us. There's two Greek words for love in these three verses. Many believe these two Greek words are synonymous. But the fact that Peter consistently uses the same word And Jesus varies the word according to Peter's response. It implies a degree of difference, that they are not completely synonymous. As I mentioned last week, Peter replies with emotion rather than devotion. Emotional love rather than devotional love. They're close in meaning, but they're not identical, especially considering the context of what is being said here. Some contexts in other passages of the Bible will use those two words almost interchangeably. But at the risk of being too simplistic, let me say this. Here are the two Greek words, and you're very familiar with these words because you've heard this word, agapao, or agape. And then there's the other love, phileo, or philos. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, so called. But there's agapao. There is phileo. Agapao is the highest form of love. That's devotional. There's devotion there. Phileo, that's emotional. Let me illustrate it this way, and I've given you this illustration before. A dog saves your life. Could be an ugly, mangy little critter, but that dog saved your life. You know what you have for that dog now? A devotional kind of love. Compare that with the little puppy you bring home. And all the ladies go, ah, there you go. Emotional. Nothing wrong with emotional love. But how long does the emotional love last when the little cute puppy grows up into? This happens with kids all the time. Daddy, oh, the puppy is so cute. You get the puppy. The puppy grows up and the kids won't even feed the thing anymore. Ah, see, there was an emotional love. There was no devotion. The dog grows up. And it shows that there was simply an emotional love. Here's something I want you to notice about the word agapao. We are always commanded to agapao God, but never to phileo God. Did you know that? You will not find any commandment in the Bible that says phileo God. Love him emotionally. It is always devotionally. Devotion is not something that ever ceases. I remember, and I've given you this illustration, when Juanita and I were dating, I would tell her from time to time, I really like you. Agapao or phileo? Phileo. I really like you. But one day I said, agapao. That's when I was ready to commit. When I was saying I really like you, I didn't have commitment in mind. But love requires commitment. And remember, love is a choice. Love is not something you fall into unless it's phileo, because you can really fall out of it really fast. But if there's a devotional love, it will be agapao. It is that devotion. That's why I say most of us have Peter's love. It's an emotional love. There's no commitment. I love you so long as it is convenient. I love you so long as you stay good looking. I love you so long as there's no devotion. And in a way, Peter loved Jesus so long as things were going well. But when it came time that he was arrested and Peter's life was in danger, now you see that indeed it was phileo. Somebody once said, I can be ordered to seek someone's good, but I cannot be ordered to have affection for a person. Devotion and emotion are not the same. Emotions do not permit themselves to be ordered around. After our boys would have an emotional fight, we would tell them to hug each other. And there was that outward sign. Even as they would just love to slug each other again. Folks, even Judas Iscariot had a phileo love. So let me ask you something. Which love do you have? Which love is it that most Christians have? Here's how you know it. Here's something that'll give it away. I don't feel like going to church today. Is that devotional or emotional, folks? I don't feel. There's the word feel. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like singing. So when everybody else is singing, I don't feel like it today. I don't feel like giving. I don't feel like listening. I don't feel. People go on feelings today. I don't feel. Which one of those loves, agapao or phileo, will endure COVID? Which one will endure persecution? And Peter's answer, instead of saying to Jesus, I have a devotional love for you, after Jesus had asked him, do you have a devotional love for me? Peter says, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I have an emotional love for you. Phileo is harder to demonstrate when hard times come. Agapao, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:7, endureth all things. Many have heard of the Hollywood actor by the name of Alec Baldwin, a godless, wicked man. His brother Stephen Baldwin became a Christian after 9/11. And has since that time been outspoken as being true to what he would call his faith. Stephen Baldwin was convinced that his devotion to Christianity would cost him his Hollywood career, and it did. It implies that it is not possible to be an outspoken Christian and be successful in Hollywood. So there's Peter's first confession. Now we see Jesus' first command. Jesus saith unto him, last part of verse 15, feed my lambs. The word has to do with young, tender sheep that belong to Jesus, because Jesus says, feed my lambs. Notice the word feed. It means to nourish. It means to give something that is going to provide nourishment to these lambs. That's the only time the word is used referring to sheep. Elsewhere, the word is used for feeding swine. Remember when Jesus casts out the demon out of the maniac of Gadara, and the demons say, let us go into the swine. And the Bible says there were swine feeding nearby, same word that is used here. You know what? The believer is never commanded to feed spiritual swine. But the believer is commanded to feed his sheep. In fact, in Matthew 7:6, Jesus says this, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. There are times when you can get a swine, I'll just say a sow, and wash her up and make her clean. And what is she going to do? It's like Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2, she's going to go right back to the mud pit. But when a man or a woman is truly saved by Jesus Christ, their life is changed, and even their very nature is changed, so that they go from being swine or go from being a dog to being sheep. A sheep does not lick up its vomit like a dog does. Peter makes that point in 2 Peter 2. And a sheep does not wallow in the mire as a sow does. And Jesus says, do not cast your pearls before swine. Do not give what is holy to the dogs. Do not feed them. You know what happens when you do? He said, they will trample on what you give them and they're going to turn again and they're going to rend you. I have found that out in the ministry. When people who call themselves sheep try to identify themselves as sheep, really aren't. And you try to help them and they turn on you. Jesus' first command, feed my lambs. So the first question, how would you compare your love for Jesus with your love for these? Peter, responding with that emotional love, causes Jesus to ask a second time what we must ask ourselves. Here's the second question that we find in verse 16. I'm going to put it this way. How would you classify your love for Jesus? Verse 15, how would you compare your love for Jesus? Verse 16, how would you classify your love for Jesus? Because here's Jesus' second question. Again, he repeats exactly what he said before. Lovest agapao thou me, Peter. Peter struggles with the comparison. So he doesn't say more than. Furthermore, Peter classified his love for Jesus as an emotional love. So Jesus uses the same word he used before, basically by saying this. Now, Peter, without comparing your love for me with others' love for me, do you really love me? And again, I want you to know, Jesus doesn't ask Peter, knowest thou me, Peter? Though Jesus could have asked him that, since Peter had denied knowing him. You see, Jesus is not examining Peter's head. He's examining Peter's heart. And so the vital question is not, knowest thou me? But the vital question is, lovest thou me? Notice Peter's second confession in verse 16. Here you see it again. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And he gives the same answer. The same answer exactly. Thou knowest that I phileo you. Thou knowest that I have an emotional attachment to you. Notice Jesus' second command. Feed my, and you're going to notice something different here. In verse 15 it was feed my lambs. Now it's feed my sheep. My sheep. That refers to older, more mature sheep. And the word feed is a different word. It literally means shepherd, my sheep. Now, when you think of the best shepherd ever, of whom do you think? And of what passage do you think? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And there in Psalm 23, verse 4, Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and staff, they comfort. I want to talk about that rod and that staff, because that's true shepherding. Thy rod shall comfort me. You see, the good shepherd uses his rod with us today. The scriptures are his rod. There's at least three uses of that rod that a shepherd would have. Number one, it was to protect. You see, that rod was basically a short stick that had a bulb on the end that was quite heavy. So it could have been a root that was dug up that was formed with that bulb, the root bulb on the end. And he could take that thing, and you guys know about this because all guys experiment this when they're kids. You grab something, it's got a heavy end, you throw it, and man, that front bulb goes to the front end. It nails what you're trying to get at. That's exactly how a shepherd would use that rod. He would hurl it at a wild animal. That gives comfort to the sheep. A shepherd's got a rod. Number two, it was for discipline. The same word rod is commanded to use with children. I'm not saying you have to get one that's got a bulb on the end. But here's the word, Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Really, the instrument, the tool of discipline, thy rod and staff, they comfort me. A child who was well disciplined is actually a child who was very well comforted. My mom and dad loved me enough to do this for me, even as he thinks to me. The rod is to protect. It is to discipline. Thirdly, it's to examine. It's used in Ezekiel 20, verse 37 this way, and I will cause you to pass under the rod. You see, the shepherd would use the rod to examine beneath the wool of the sheep to detect disease, wounds, or defects. Even a sheep that may look fine on the outside, but deep down may have problems, which could later on endanger the entire flock. And so the shepherd would use that to examine the sheep. Comfort. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The staff was used to guide sheep, to prod them if necessary, to keep them together, to keep them on the path. So Peter, do you love me? Agapao. Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. Shepherd my sheep. Thirdly, not just how would you compare your love for Jesus, how would you classify your love for Jesus, how would you confess your love for Jesus? Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Here's Jesus' third question, and now Jesus descends to use the word that Peter has used twice. Instead of Jesus saying, Peter, agapao me, Jesus descends to what he's been saying and says, Peter, phileo me. Peter grieves. Not because he's being asked three times, but because Jesus has now descended to his lower word. And Jesus now highlights the word that Peter has been using. And Jesus says the same thing that Peter's been saying. Three times Jesus asks, emphasizing that to love him is absolutely necessary for service and to hear well done. So yes, that passionate emotion that even Peter has may be necessary, but only passionate devotion will endure the emotional ups and downs. Peter, phileo me? That's Jesus' third question. Now notice Peter's third confession. Instead of boasting of a quality he does not have, he admits what Jesus already knows. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I phileo thee. He doesn't even this time say, yes, Lord. He limits his confession to that penetrating gaze of Jesus, that penetrating gaze that Peter remembers after he denied the Lord the third time and Jesus turned and looked at him. In grief, Peter twice says, Lord, thou knowest. Remember in the adult Bible class, we're talking about the two words for know? To say that you know something can either be an acquired knowledge or an absolute knowledge. Both words are used here. So when Peter says, Lord, thou knowest all things. The fact that God knows all things, is that something he has acquired or is that an absolute knowledge? That's absolute, and the Greek brings it out. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest, get this, by experience, I only have a phileo love for you. You have had absolute knowledge of all things, Lord. You are knowing by experience that I have affection for you. That's Peter's third confession. Now notice Jesus' third command. Feed my sheep. The whole flock, including his lambs. They belong to Jesus. He says, my sheep. And again, it's the word feed. It's the word nourish. And so from this, I want you to note six lessons in Jesus' three commands. Here's the first lesson. The right love will be demonstrated by obedience. You will tend his sheep. The right love will be demonstrated by obedience. You will tend his sheep. Number two, here's the second lesson. The evidence for Peter's love for Christ will be in his care for his lambs. The evidence for Peter's love for Christ will be in his care for his lambs. Number three, here's the third lesson. We best tend his sheep when our love is not for the sheep, it's for him. You see, folks, our emphasis should be more on loving our Lord than our fellow believer. And this passage doesn't just apply to pastors. Although the Lord gives pastors the gift of shepherding, all believers must be involved in the care for the flock, using your spiritual gift. Tending the Lord's sheep is the duty of every believer in the local church via your spiritual gift. You may be a teacher. You're responsible for tending his sheep. Every parent is involved in tending sheep. And my children are not mine, they're his. And the people at Westside Baptist Church are not mine, they're his. I love him first. You see, folks, the best thing you can do for his sheep is to love the good shepherd. Because if you love the people first, you will disregard what the shepherd says about loving the sheep and disciplining the sheep. You will mistake what love for the sheep is if you don't love him first and foremost and most of all. Only when you love the shepherd more than you love the sheep can you shepherd the sheep faithfully as he commands. If your ministry to the sheep is not an expression of your devotional love to the Lord, it is not ministry at all. It is simply religious activity. And you soon run out of steam. And when Jesus says, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. It's in the present active imperative. And in other words, it means continually do this. It's not a one-time responsibility. It is continuous. And I note that is number four. And as number five, the number five lesson, Jesus commissions Peter to go from being a fisherman to being a fisher of men, a shepherd. Our relationship with people is not simply to fish for them. That's evangelism. But it is also to shepherd them. That's discipleship. There's this mistaken notion that we think that getting new converts is the most important thing. And yet Jesus is not here challenging Peter to go fishing. Not even for men. He's done that. But he is now challenging him, Peter, feed my sheep. Jesus focuses on those who are already converted. They need tending. If you look around today, you'll see people who need tending. You say, well, that's the pastor's job. It is, but it is also yours. That's why God has given in the church spiritual gifts. The pastor can't do all of those. The pastor doesn't have all the spiritual gifts either. There are people who think they have all the spiritual gifts. They're proud. They think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. Even as Paul says in Romans chapter 12, speaking about spiritual gifts, people who think they've got all the spiritual gifts are proud. Jesus focuses on those already converted. They need tending. Years ago, we had something. How many remember when we had tending his sheep here? Years ago, tending his sheep. It was a challenge I had given for you to develop relationships with people in the flock here. To encourage one another, to fellowship with one another. That's why we come up with dinners for six, dinners for eight. Giving opportunity for Christians to get together in fellowship one with another. Jesus is commissioning Peter to go from fisherman to shepherd. And lastly, Jesus is doing for Peter what Jesus is commanding Peter to do for his sheep. Get that? Jesus, by example, is saying, Peter, I am now tending to you. I am challenging. And this shows us how to tend the sheep. It's not just to always be, oh, bless your heart, as they say down south. It's not always just, oh, you know, you need to. It's sometimes challenging like this. It's like, what are you doing? You don't really love God, do you? It's confronting, as Jesus tenderly does to Peter here. So here we have in these three verses, three questions, three confessions, three commands. And the fact that Jesus is willing to entrust his lambs, his sheep, to Peter for tending shows that Peter's denying Jesus has not disqualified him from serving Jesus. Get that? All of us have failed. It doesn't disqualify us from serving him. Jesus will restore to service those who humbly admit that they have fallen. But I want you to note that before entrusting his own sheep to Peter's care, Jesus confronts Peter about his love. He doesn't ask Peter, will you serve me? He doesn't ask Peter, if you know me. Love comes before service. And the fact that Jesus challenges Peter with loving him teaches us that those who do not love Jesus Christ will certainly not love his sheep. And you can't feed or lead or shepherd the sheep if you're not with them in the first place. Live streaming does not feed the sheep. And yet people are falling into that trap all over the place. Don't talk about your love for Jesus Christ, folks, if you neglect his lambs. Whether it's the newly saved who are young and tender and weak, or if it's the more mature sheep. If you neglect being with them, if you aren't even with them, which is necessary for leading and feeding, you're failing to obey this. Jesus says, tend my sheep. And that flies in the face of tending to your hobbies, tending to your job, tending to everything else. First and foremost, he says, you tend my sheep. So if you're going to serve the Lord in the right way, you must have a love for him. Not an emotional love that is up today and gone tomorrow, but a devotional love that is committed. If you love me, then feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, nourish my sheep.